Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to be talking about our firewall licensing. I have some updates for that. We talked about that last episode. And I want to talk about that last episode because I think I did a poor job of explaining things. And so for this one, I was thinking about how am I going to do a better job making sure I cover everything that's important. So I came up with this kind of a framework for how I want to do the show. And it kind of follows the way we do our project management process. So we have goals, we have tasks, and we have lessons learned. So let's jump into this. We'll start off with the goals. And I have two things here. Get licenses before the old ones expire, and then only pay for the features that we use. So those are the two goals I have for this particular project. Now, the tasks are the things that we're going to do to achieve those goals. So I have inventory, features, quote, purchase and apply licenses. On the inventory side, I want to know how many devices we have. In our case, we have two. And then you have to get the model number and serial numbers. This is super important because when you go to purchase your licenses, you need to tell the vendor something about your devices. You know, what do you have? And then you want to make sure you're getting all the licenses for all your devices. You don't want to miss one. Now, when it comes to features, I have a bit of a problem here because I don't know what features I really want. There's one that I know for sure, but what I'm going to tell the vendor is that I want the basics. Whatever the basics are to keep this thing functional, I want that. Plus, I want the OCVPN option. And the OCVPN option is Fortinet's SD-WAN option. SD-WAN is software-defined wide area network. And what this does is it automatically builds your site-to-site VPN connections. So our site-to-site VPN is between two firewalls. We have one location and then another location with our data center. Those are the two locations. So typically what a site-to-site VPN will be used for is between offices. So let's say, for example, you have an office in Alaska, you have an office in Seattle. They would be connected by a site-to-site VPN connection so that people in the different offices can access resources within those different offices across that VPN connection. You can build it manually, but that's a bit tricky. And my experience doing that with Fortinet has been kind of a pain in the ass. So having that OCVPN option is super important because it automatically builds the whole thing for you. So just to be clear, the features I want are just enough to keep it running and the OCVPN option. Now, when it comes to the quote, I'm going to give the vendor the necessary information they need, the model, the serial number, how many we have, and then I'm going to say, we want the basics and I want the OCVPN option. And they're going to give me some information about, you know, what my options are. And there was a little bit of a back and forth here because what the vendor came back with initially was a quote for support. And what they said was interesting. They said, you don't need a license to keep the firewall running, but we do recommend you get a support contract because you want to be able to get updates. And that's what the support contract provides us. We get tech support if we need it, but we also get access to firmware updates, which is something that we need to have. And there was no mention of the OCVPN option. So I'm like, well, where is that? I need that. And in the past, I had paid for that. So there was a bit of back and forth there when I was trying to figure out, you know, this is this quote correct? Is this right? Making sure that we got what we needed. And the vendor kept telling me that I don't need to pay for the OCVPN. So I ended up going to Fortinet support and asking them, what's the deal here? Do I need to pay for this? And they said, you can have up to three firewalls in that OCVPN configuration where it's automatically building the VPN connections between those three firewalls for free. And that was news to me because in the past I had to pay for that option. So that was kind of an interesting thing that I had to go through in terms of figuring those things out with the vendor and then having to go to support.
Did you have to pay for that option or did you pay for that option because you didn't know?
No, this is something I had to pay for in the past.
In the past, okay.
So now we have a quote and the quote is for support only because that's apparently all we need for this particular situation. Now, when I go to purchase and apply, This is where I actually go and pay for the license and apply the licenses to the devices. So when I went to go purchase the license, it actually had listed the support contracts for two firewalls and the OCVPN option, because I had bugged the vendor so many times about the OCVPN option, they included that. So what I did is I removed the OCVPN option because we get that for free. We only have two firewalls. You can have up to three for free. If you add a fourth one, that's when you need to pay for a license for the OCVPN option. So all we really need is the support contract for two firewalls, which is in there. So I went ahead and paid for that. And then I had to wait for the licenses themselves, because what's going to happen is I think your vendor then talks to Fortinet, and then Fortinet sends you your licensing. And then once you get the license itself is going to have like a contract number in there. And what you do is you take that and you apply that to your device. So you would go into your Fortinet account, look for your device, and then there's a renew button you click on. You paste in the contract number, and then you can renew that. I had a little bit of an issue because I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, and I applied the license, and then I had to figure out how to go and double check and verify that the license was applied, because I couldn't remember which device I had applied it to, and I didn't want to apply two licenses to the same device. So there was a little bit of an issue there, but I figured that out and got those all applied. So our firewalls are now licensed for 1 year of support, which means we can call tech support and we can get our firmware updates. Now let's go into lessons learned. So for this one, overall, I think it went pretty good. However, I think I need to do a better job of documenting how the licensing process works, because I had forgotten some of these things. Because once you license this thing, you typically don't go back and license it again, right? And usually when you do this, sometimes what will happen is you'll get a discount if you do like 5 years. We didn't do that. You know, I did like a year for the firewall itself, and then I think I did 5 years for one of our switches and then our wireless access point. So, because those were things I knew that, you know, those are just going to be, you know, we just get a license for that and we're done. There's no real option there. With the firewall, I initially got the kitchen sink because I wanted to learn how to use all the features. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that. And that's why I only had a 1 year license for the firewalls. But yeah, I need to do a better job of documenting all of that. And then understanding or paying attention to some of the features that change in new firmware additions. That's a little tricky because a lot of times what will happen with a firewall is you'll configure it, you'll have your features in there, and then you're done. And even when you do firmware updates, you're not really paying attention to, or maybe I don't pay attention enough to, the new features that might be in there, where they may include things like free OCVPN options. So that's something I may want to pay closer attention to. But again, overall, I think it went well.
So is there a place where you can go, where you can look at what updates on the firmware were included, you know, after they happen, like a history of the updates?
No. So what you have to do is you have to manually put the updates in there yourself. It's not going to happen automatically.
Oh, okay. So then when you're putting them in there yourself, then you're able to look at what you're putting in.
Well, what you have to do though is applying the firmware update is one thing. Knowing what's in the firmware.
And that's what I was going to ask you next. It's like, you know, I've applied updates from Windows before when we had to do them manually. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, I could see some of them, you know, okay, it's a security update, but others, I didn't know what they do.
Exactly. And so when you're looking at things like Windows updates, there's a lot of stuff that gets included in Windows updates. So when you're looking at things like a firewall update, there's a lot of stuff that gets, you know, included in the updates. And so it can be tricky figuring out what's in there and what's been fixed and what new features might be available. But there are places to go for that. And I need to pay more attention to that and really do my homework.
So where would you go to find out?
Don't worry too much about that. That's all on the website. You got to do some research for that. But the point is, you need to be doing that for whatever it is you're doing. Now, one of the things I want to point out here is that the steps I took to get the licensing is for Fortinet. When you're looking at this in terms of other devices, you need to do your homework and make sure you do homework that don't just jump into this and say, okay, I'm going to go purchase some licenses for these devices because I need them and we'll just get it done. Make sure you're doing your homework. I've talked about this before. The Fortinet ones went well. Our Palo Alto firewall was a horrible disaster. Part of that was because I didn't do my homework. On the Palo Alto side, when you go to renew a license, there's a special renewal license you have to get. Well, I didn't know that. And I actually think it's kind of dumb that they have this because for Fortinet, you just buy a license. For Meraki, you just buy a license. And it extends the contract or the time that your device is licensed. With Palo Alto, there's a regular license you get when you purchase the device. And then there's a license you get as a renewal. Well, I didn't know that. And so when I went to go buy it, a mistake was made by the vendor. And the vendor purchased a regular license that you would get when you first buy the device. And so when I tried to use that, it wouldn't work.
Because you hadn't bought a new device. You already had the device.
Exactly. So in that situation, I would say that some of the blame is on the vendor. Some of the blame is on me. And some of the blame is on Palo Alto, because I really do believe that you know, if Meraki and Fortinet can both have a license that you purchase and apply to the device, why do you need to have a renewal license, something different? It makes no sense.
What I don't understand is that why couldn't you just put your device number on the renewal license and have it recognized as having it bought new? You know, on the new license, you know.
Well, that's just the way they do it. So here's the thing. When you go to do these kinds of things, at the end of the day, you're it. You're the one that's responsible for making sure that that device gets a new license. If the wrong license is purchased, nobody's going to care about Palo Alto or the vendor. They're going to care about what you did. Because if that's your project, it's on you to make sure that those devices are licensed correctly. So when I go through and do the inventory and requirement review or the feature set that I want to have, those are things I put on there for very good reasons. What device am I looking at? How many do we have? What are the serial numbers? What are the model numbers? What feature sets do we want? Let's hash it out with the vendor when we do the quote. And make sure that we are getting what we really need. So fortunately for me, this wasn't a Palo Alto, it's a Fortinet. So the licensing process a bit easier. Now, one of the things that you want to be careful of and why I kind of pushed back on the vendor is because I didn't want to purchase this and find out that our OCVPN failed and we have to get a license right away. Now, it wouldn't have been the end of the world because in our case, there's just two of us, right? We're not a business. We can afford to have the VPN down for a couple days. We're not always using it in this case. So if we needed to purchase a license for the OCVPN, let's say, for example, we get to the date and it actually does fail on us. We can go back to the vendor and say, hey, I need an OCVPN license. They would sell us one. I would apply that. It would be fine. May have to do some work to reconfigure things maybe, but we could purchase a license, apply that to the device, and we would be fine.
So I have a question, since we're looking at how to do project management. So having had that experience with Palo Alto and the experience with Meraki and Fortinet, the next time that you get prepared for a firewall project, how would you, you know, having had that experience, how would you do what you need to do better? What would it look like for you to take a look at that to prevent this from happening again? What kind of homework would you be doing? And
the same thing I just said, make sure you get a list of the hardware you're working with, the model, the serial number, and I would recommend that you do your homework and talk to people who manage these devices. You can go online, you can join groups. Reddit's a good place to go. You can check videos online for YouTube. I'm always telling you to watch the videos. Make absolutely certain you do your homework ahead of time, especially if this is the first time you've ever done it. But even if you've done it a couple of times, but it's been a while, do your homework. Things may have changed. Like in this case, the OCVPN option that I normally would pay for, it's now free. That's awesome for us. Had I not paid attention, I would have missed one of my goals. I would have paid for the OCVPN option when we didn't need to pay for that. So, you know, total, I think it was going to be close to $600 or something like that with the OCVPN option. I didn't have to pay that because guess what? It's free. So I deleted that from the shopping cart and only paid for what I needed. So those are things that sometimes your vendor may not be able to help you with because at the end of the day, they can't see what you're doing. They can only provide you with information that you have already given them, right? So based on the information you give them, they're going to try to help you. And in some cases, they may make mistakes. That's fine. But you need to do your part to make sure that your ducks are lined up in a row. So when you get information from the vendor, you can look at that and go, oh no, something's missing. Oh no, this is correct. But you're not going to know that unless you do your homework. In a larger enterprise environment, hopefully you have somebody on your team who's done this before so that you don't end up in that situation where you have a Palo Alto firewall that you can't use because the license is wrong. So again, I think overall for this Fortinet project, it went really well. While there were some issues with the quote and me not understanding the thing about the OCVPN, I think it went really, really well. I think what I need to do now is make sure I document that process and document the fact that, one, the OCVPN feature is free for up to 3 firewalls, that we only need the support contract to keep this running. And that's interesting because if you look at something like a Meraki, that won't function without a license. There are other firewalls out there that are the same way. They may not function without a license. I think Palo Alto might be one of them, but don't quote me on that. Because I haven't done anything with it recently tells me that most likely that firewall does not work without a license, but I don't remember exactly how that functions. In our case, we still need a license for our firewall, even though it does work with that one. We really want to have the updates because that's what's going to help keep that thing safe and secure. It's going to patch all the bugs and maybe we get extra features too. But what I'm more concerned about is the security side of things, making sure that whatever bugs we have within Fortinet get patched with those updates. So now that I've told you how this whole thing went down, what do you think of that?
Well, one of the things that I was thinking is that if you document what you just got done saying that you were going to document, if I had to go get the license next year, it would be like I would be asking the vendor, okay, so with our service contract, you know, do we still get the 3 firewalls, you know, that VPN for the 3 firewalls still included in that? You know, I would double check on that because of what happened. And, you know, to me, I think you really said something that really hit home for me, because a lot of the things that we do in IT, you know, we get excited, we do a project and we go, oh my gosh, you know, we got it done. I can't believe this worked out. And then you don't document it. And then what happens is because it worked, you may not have to touch that thing for like a year or so. And then all of a sudden, when you need to do it again, if you don't have it documented, you're having to redo the homework. So, you know, doing the homework for the updates and the new things that are happening, I think is really important. But I also think that documentation is just as important as doing the homework. Because no matter what in IT, you're constantly going to have to look at what is new, what has changed since the last time that we did this, anytime you embark on a project that you've done before. But I think that having some documentation of it helps you kind of launch that from a place of, I have to do homework, but not this much. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And that's why we do the documentation for that very reason. Mm. And that's the thing that I complain about all the time is that when I've worked for some of these other organizations, we're constantly having to reinvent the wheel. Why? Because nobody's documenting things. Now, one thing I want to point out too is that there are some security features that some people are going to say, I got to have those, like AV, intrusion prevention, things of that nature. Those are not as critical as you might think. And with AV, we talked about this last episode, AV doesn't work on the firewall unless you decrypt the packets, because your AV on the firewall can't see what's inside an encrypted packet. So if the packet's encrypted and there's a virus in there, AV on the firewall is never going to see that. And since more and more of the internet is being encrypted with SSL or TLS, it's never going to see that. You know, you're better off putting your AV on the laptop and the workstation rather than relying on the one that's on the firewall. And then intrusion prevention, I don't know what to make of that, because before I applied the new licenses, and our old licenses have not expired yet. And I don't remember exactly how the thing is configured in terms of AV and intrusion prevention and all of that. But I can tell you that when you log into the Fortinet website where you're with your account, it will show you some things about the firewall, and it shows you viruses found and intrusion prevention numbers and all of that. They're all zero. And if you do it over a year, it's all zero. And I think if you are in a situation where you're doing this for business and you go in there and look at that, chances are it's going to be zero too, because I don't think those things, they're interesting things to see on a spec sheet when somebody's trying to sell you something. Look at how much stuff we can do. Look at all the fancy, you know, AV and intrusion prevent. Look, we're awesome. In reality, you may go look at that, even though you may have it configured correctly, it may show zero, because you don't necessarily have to have that. In some situations, I think those things may apply, but that's special case, not a general. Now, everybody's situation is different. So don't take what I say and try to apply it to your particular situation, but think about that. Does your AV actually do anything on the firewall? Does your intrusion prevention actually do anything on the firewall? Maybe there are other features you have that you've been sold because somebody told you these are awesome, but you don't actually end up using them. They're not doing anything based on the technology that you have. Like, in order for AV to work, you got to have SSL decrypt. Well, we don't do SSL decrypt, so AV is never going to work. Things of that nature. Evaluate those features for your particular situation and ask yourself, am I paying for something that's never going to get used? Because you may be. But that's it for now. I think
I have something to say. One of the things that I really like, of course, you know, we're starting a new year, so we're trying to budget and make the most of our money. But one of the things that I like is the fact that we start with the basics, the service contract. And like you were saying, if we were to need an extra license and that didn't work, then we would know. I think that's a better idea, because it's better to start with something basic. And then if you feel like you need something extra because you want to use it, and at that time you can invest in that, you know, versus you spending all this money thinking you're going to use the features. And like what happened to us, we ended up not using a lot of those features that we really wanted to look into. I think it would have been wiser for us to actually get to that part of the project and say, okay, do we want to use this feature or not? Do we have time? Is it something that is going to work for us? You know, so in that particular thing, I think that we did make some mistakes last year, but I think we have a better focus on what we want to achieve this year.
Yeah, I think that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at support@section9.us. If you want to take a look at our show notes, I'll have some links in there, especially for things like OCVPN. You can go to our website for that. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening, and Happy New Year.